3:14-22. To the angel of the Lord, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, this is my message from the Amen, the faithful and true witness, who is the origin of all that God has created. I know what you have done. I know that you are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were either one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and well off. I have all I need. But you do not know how miserable and pitiful you are. You are poor, naked, and blind. I advise you then to buy gold from me, pure gold, in order to be rich. Buy also white clothing to dress yourself and cover up your shameful nakedness. Buy also some ointment to put on your eyes so that you may see. I rebuke and punish all I love. Be in earnest then and turn from your sins. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into his house and eat with him, and he will eat with me. To those who win the victory, I will give the right to sit beside me on my Father's throne, just as I have been victorious, having been victorious and now sit on the Father's on his throne. If you have ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the church. And then from Revelation chapter 21, page 321. New heaven and new earth. There I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and the sea vanished. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down on heaven from God, prepared and ready like a bride dressed to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's house is with mankind. He will live with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and he will be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. The old things have disappeared. Then the one who sits on the throne said, and now I make all things new. He also said to me, write this, because these words are true and can be trusted. And he said, it is done. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give the right to drink from the spring of the water of life without paying for it. Whoever wins victory will receive this from me. I will be his God, and he will be my son. But cowards, traitors, perverts, murderers, the immoral, those who practice magic, those who worship idols, and all liars, and the place for them is the lake burning with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Sorry, it's a long reading. One of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came to me and said, come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. The Spirit took control of me, and the angel carried me to the top of a very high mountain. He showed me Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down out of heaven from God, and shining with the glory of God. The city shone like a precious stone, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels in charge of the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of the people of Israel. There are 3 gates on each side, 3 on the east, 3 on the south, 3 on the north, and 3 on the west. The city's wall was built on 12 foundation stones, on which were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who spoke to me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was perfectly square, as wide as it was long. The angel measured the city with his measuring rod. It was 2,400 kilometres long and was as wide and as high as it was long. The angel also measured the wall, and it was 60 metres high, according to the standard unit of measure which he was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city itself made of pure gold, as clear as glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, and the sixth carnelian, the seventh yellow quartz, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chalcedony, the 11th turquoise, the 12th amaryth. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was made from a single pearl. The street of the city was of pure gold, transparent as glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God shines on it, and the Lamb is its lamp. The peoples of the world will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their wealth into it. The gates of the city will stand open all day. They will never be closed, because there will be no night. The greatness and the wealth of the nations will be brought into the city, but nothing that is impure will enter the city, nor anyone who does shameful things or tells lies. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of the Living will enter the city.
Thank you to you, Irene. Irene wasn't down for reading this. Miriam was, but Miriam is unwell. So if you're listening to this online, Miriam, I hope you get better very, very soon. And thank you, Irene. That was quite a tricky reading, and you did beautifully. So now is Bernice's time, and we're all looking forward to it. Father God, we just pray for Bernice. Lord, I know Melissa has prayed already, but two prayers are probably even better than one. So, Lord, we just pray that your spirit will be with Bernice, that you will take any nerves away, and that you yourself will be glorified for what Bernice has to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. And thank you to the music team. You're spot on with the songs you chose, and we really appreciate the gift that God has given you people to lead us in worship. It's wonderful. I say a special hello to anybody watching online, especially maybe our children might be watching, Marie, Leanne, Angela and Terry. Thank you for joining us. So my message this morning is like two parts. First of all, my physical life, and then my spiritual life. A special thank you to Irene as well, although Robin has said, for reading that scripture. It's one of my favourite chapters in the Bible, I will have to say. So I was born at the end of the war, and I grew up in Leberton. I went to Leberton Primary School and later to Waitara High School. My parents were dairy farmers supplying town milk and Dad was a very successful farmer, and Massey University had plots on the farm for experimentation. Also, big conferences of men would come and walk over the farm, while Mum would be at home cooking up food for the masses. I had three siblings, Merv, Janet, myself was third, and Neville. And they were happy times with our family. I never had any regrets. But because of my health, many times I would end up in hospital. And when Mum and Dad had to leave me, I would cry and cry. It was heartbreaking for me to see my parents walk away from me, because in those days you had to stay in hospital several days. And it must have been heartbreaking for them as well. But I was so fortunate to have had loving Christian parents and had a wonderful example to follow. We would go to church every Sunday, dressed up in our best clothes, with hats on. Ladies, remember that. Dad was the leader of the Waitara Bible class, which I went to, and he would conjure up a team of teenagers to take services somewhere in Taranaki, usually in vacant place parishes, travelling long distances like Whangamomona, Pātia, Waverley. It was like a revival amongst the youth throughout Taranaki in those days. We had wonderful Easter camps with great speakers using the primary schools as our accommodation until they bought the present-day campsite in Eltham, of which I was not a part of. At high school, or I should say then, before that, my mum was a very prayerful woman. She prayed a lot, and she prayed not only for her family and for others, but she also prayed for animals on the farm. And we had a dog once that we all loved. Forgotten the name of the dog, but I can picture it. It was run over by the milk truck and had a broken leg. Well, she prayed for that dog and the leg. The dog kept chewing the plaster off that the vet had put on, but that dog's leg was healed so that it could walk on it. But she had a wonderful faith. At high school, I excelled in shorthand and typing. I truly loved it, and I couldn't get enough of it. I was set on working at the brand new Chief Post Office in New Plymouth, rather than finish the year in the sixth form. And so my father came with me to see if there was a job available for me, and there was. Just like that, just walked into a job. Because I worked in a government department, I was able to transfer within the post office to Dunedin when Dad decided to go to Knox College and train for ministry. And then again later to the Oamaru post office when Mum and Dad began their first parish ministry in Mahino. I would just mention that Dad was 52 when he went to Dunedin to study. He was like a father to some of the young ones at the college. At the age of almost 22, I left home and came to live in New Plymouth. A couple of months later, a long-time friend of our family asked me if I wanted to go to a Taranaki Alpine Club meeting on Friday night. I said, yes, of course, because as a family, we did several tramps in South Island when I was younger, and also Dad would lead the Bible class up the mountain for a sunrise climb. So when we arrived at this meeting, there was standing room only. So Peter and I stood at the back, and my eyes fixated on this guy up the front, leading the meeting, who was the club captain. Guess who? Straight away I knew that this was the man I wanted to marry. I didn't even know his name or a single thing about him. and this was, of course, Robin. However, without going into details, our first date didn't happen till about 8 months later, finally. Robin and I have now been married for 53 years, and I can truly say there was no other person that I would have rather married. We've had four beautiful children, Marie, Leanne, Angela and Terry. There's a verse in the Bible that says, children are a gift from the Lord, and these children have certainly been the best gift we have ever had. As well, we have 14 grandchildren, 9 grandsons and 5 granddaughters, aged from 27 years down to 7. We love them all so much. They're all so different, and they're all very special to us. I'm so grateful that Robin and I have always had a love for tramping and climbing, to be right amongst God's creation and go where very few people have been. Is amazing. Looking way down into the valley from very high up, hearing the noise of the cattle mooing way down below, seeing and hearing the kias flying around the mountain tops, and the beautiful native birds singing in the trees, the noise of the roaring rivers, and then to finally get to where we had planned. Even though it's been hard work, it's very satisfying when you sit down and think about where you have been and the wonderful day you've had. We travelled overseas for 3.5 years, 2 years in England and 1 year in Switzerland, with both Marie and Leanne as preschoolers. Then we came back to New Zealand and went dairy farming in Rivalea, close to Kaponga. By then, Angela was born and Terry was born a bit later. Our little church there was a wonderful, warm community of people. We were all so close to each other, shared each other's problems, and we always were a hugging congregation. So you're probably thinking that I've been a Christian all my life. Well, I can certainly say that I wasn't. Sure, attending church Sunday after Sunday, raising our children in a Christian environment, made me think this is living life as a Christian. But you know, I had no joy, no enthusiasm, and it seemed like I was praying into thin air. I thought that this life was all there was. There was a verse that I used to read sometimes and it troubled me. And Irene has just read it in Revelation chapter 3. Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That verse was in the back of my mind for years. I knew I wasn't cold for God, but I also knew I wasn't hot either. And I didn't know how I could change it. I sometimes would think that, well, I would try and get to heaven, and I would picture myself climbing lots of steps, like entering a big room similar to going to the cinemas when you go upstairs, and then when you get there it slopes downwards to the front. So I would climb these steps and come out at the back of the cinema, if you can get my picture, and the door was a smidgen ajar. I would squeeze halfway in where this huge room was packed with people, all looking towards the front. But you know, I wasn't properly in, and every time I never got fully in. And that was my idea of heaven. Was I going there? Was I not going there? You may think this is a bit of a stupid picture, but this is what I used to think. After a few years of living in Kaponga, we got a new minister, Doug, and his wife Jan Earp were very quiet personalities, but very gentle and loving. One day after they'd been there about a year, Doug announced that he was going to hold a Life in the Spirit seminar. And I thought, oh no, not another set of boring meetings. I was quite sure Robin wouldn't go because he was a busy farmer and always had things to do. So I asked him anyway if he was going to this Life in the Spirit thing, thinking all the time he'd say no. But he said, yes, I think we should support the things of the church. I was shocked, because that meant that I had to go too. The seminar was for 5 weeks, meeting together once a week on a Thursday night. We were given a little booklet, and this was the size of the booklet, only that was not one day's reading. That was 2 days' reading, so it was just half a page with a verse and an explanation to read each day of the 5 weeks. So I diligently read my reading every day, but you know, it was like giving a baby solids. There was so much meat in every verse and what was written, it felt like I had read a book. Looking back, they were amazing verses. They were just what I needed. On the night of the 4th week, Doug announced that next week we would be given the opportunity to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. And I thought, oh no. I remember as a child I would go and stay with my nana in New Plymouth. And we would walk to her church because she never owned a car, never drove. It was an AOG church. The people there were amazing. They sung with such gusto. And then some people would start speaking in tongues. And then sometimes there would be an interpreter. Nana didn't do that. She was a very quiet lady. So I didn't know what this was all about, except it was the Holy Spirit. And now, at this stage of the seminar, I was a bit frightened. I remember crying out to the Lord 2 days before this 5th night. And I said, Lord Jesus, all I want is you. And in my ignorance and fear, I said, I don't want the Holy Spirit. Thursday night came around and I was scared. After worship time, our minister announced that in each corner of the church, there were people who would pray for us. We just had to go to them. Well, you would have thought that I was stuck to the seat with elephant glue. A wave came over me and I thought I should go forward, but I couldn't. Another wave came over me, but not as strong, and I should have got up, but I just couldn't. A third time, a wave came over me, so much weaker than the first, and I knew that if I didn't go now, I would miss out on whatever was going to happen. So I got up, and it was the hardest, longest walk I've ever done. Walking up the aisle of the church. Sorry. I went to a lovely couple who had come up from Manaya, and the floodgates opened. I felt a fool, but there was such a battle going on. The couple were so kind and gentle, and they prayed for me quietly. They said it doesn't matter that I was crying. I don't remember anything they said, and they just weren't concerned about my state. They just prayed for me. I couldn't wait to get home that night. I was in such a mess. And yet, surprisingly, that night I had the most wonderful sleep. And the next morning I felt so liberated. I started singing and singing. I couldn't wait to see everyone on Sunday, thinking they would be also joyful like me. But it wasn't quite like that. Jesus had baptized me with the Holy Spirit because he knew what was best for me. There is an old song that we used to sing. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. And so began my new life. I knew Jesus, finally. He was real. I had a direct link with him. He wasn't a character in a book called the Bible. He was a real person. He spoke to me audibly and told me that he loved me. He even called me by name, Bernice. He told me that in the Kaponga church one Sunday morning. I don't think I stopped crying all day long. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was what was missing in my 40 years of life. I was on top of the world. No wonder Jesus didn't begin his ministry until the Holy Spirit came upon him when John baptized him. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Before, I had no power and was certainly not a witness before this, and I definitely wouldn't be standing up here this morning if I didn't know Jesus was real. Since that wonderful day, Jesus has never left me. I still have that connection with him. He's always there. Even though sometimes the enemy tries to squash you, and he will, he'll try to rob you of your joy, Jesus has never let me down. I'll share an experience with you that both Robin and I were involved in. We had just returned from a holiday in the South Island where we had successfully climbed Mount Aspiring. It was an epic trip, but we were so happy to have done that. It was a long-time dream of mine, because my grandparents on my father's side were from Switzerland, and Mount Aspiring is known as the Matterhorn of the South, and Matterhorn, of course, is a mountain in Switzerland. That was the reason why I wanted to go. When we came back and went to church, we were in a loving church family there, but one day, out of the blue, I was told that I was the cause of the rot in the church. We were both terribly hurt, and we kept on being attacked, especially at night. We didn't really know what this was all about, but our hearts would be thumping, and we lost countless nights of sleep. This went on for months, and we didn't know what was happening. And I got very bitter against this person and the leadership, and I despised going to church. I tried desperately to overcome this by myself, but nothing happened. But you know, God never lets go. He very wonderfully gave me a picture of myself sitting in a flimsy, tiny, round, inflatable rubber dinghy. So tiny that I had to bend my knees up to fit in it. I was in the middle of the ocean on a glassy sea. The sun was shining. I looked around. I didn't see any land all the way around me. There was no land. It was just me, the rubber dinghy, and the ocean. And I felt very vulnerable. vulnerable. And I said, God, where are you? And he turned my eyes down to underneath the rubber dinghy I was in. And there was this big, very manly forearm holding me up underneath and stopping me from sinking. That was amazing, totally amazing. It would only take a pinprick and I would be gone because that was an inflatable dinghy. But God was there, stopping anything from happening. God was with me through all these attacks, and he was not going to let this attack overcome me. He's true to his word. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And yet, this bitterness against this person remained with me. And whenever I saw him, I would try to avoid him. I would cross the street. Sometime later, I went to an Elijah House seminar, but before I left, I had this nervous, heart-beating feeling that something was going to happen. I didn't know what it was all about. We were divided into small groups, four of us with a leader. And when we got into our group, the leader said, let's all pray and see who it is that needs prayer. So I felt very guilty because all I could think of was myself. I knew I should be trying to think of somebody else. But at the end of the prayer time, he said, well, who do you think? And they all pointed to me. I needed prayer. Without even knowing what I was going through, they just said me anyway. I didn't even know these people. They didn't even know what I was going through. However, you know, we had our question time and they had to find out a little bit about me and everything, which was fine. At the end, our leader asked, let's just pray. And he said to me, he said, do you see a picture in your mind? And I waited a moment and there was nothing. And he asked again, do you see a picture? And then away in the foggy distance, I could see a picture emerging. And it came close and was very clear. It was a picture of a sheep pen. And the sheep pen, I think there were only four sheep in it, I think. But one of the sheep was a bit smaller than the rest. A kind man was there. And that man lifted the small sheep and put it on his shoulder. That was me. What a moment. The whole bitterness that I had borne against that person just left, and I have never had any hard feelings against any of those people or that church again. Praise God. I was set free of bitterness, hurt, and shame. These kinds of things rob you of joy and freedom. They eat away at you, and you become consumed in bitter thoughts. My heart is full of gratitude to my Lord and Saviour for loving me and rescuing me, for filling my heart with peace, for revealing himself to me, that he knows my name. I cannot thank him enough, and to him I give all the praise and glory for what he has done in my life. He truly is an amazing friend who has stuck with me through good times and bad times, I'm so looking forward to the day when I will see him and he will take me to heaven. Can we just pray? Lord Jesus, I stand before you now and I really can't thank you enough for all that you have done in my life, for reaching down and lifting me up out of lukewarmness. Thank you for being my Saviour. You are the only one who could save me. Thank you for being my wonderful friend who stuck by me through all my ups and downs. Thank you for the wonderful assurance that you've given me that you would take me to your glorious place in heaven that you have prepared for me and for all who love you, just to see you in all your splendor and to be in that wonderful place with you forever and ever. And Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone who is here this morning or who is watching online who knows they are in a lukewarm state like I was, but they're stuck because they can't do anything about it. Oh Lord, I do pray that you would give them the courage to cry out to you in desperation that they really want you. And I know you will not disappoint. You will rescue them. Renew their heart, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Flood them with joy and peace and become real in their lives. And Lord, this morning I also pray for those who have deep hurts that have caused wounds. Maybe they are festering inside their hearts and they cannot get rid of what has caused these hurts. Maybe they're bitter against someone or some people and they have been robbed of the life that you intended them to have. We pray, Lord, too, for those who are carrying shame for what has been done or said to them. It is buried deep within their souls. Maybe it was something that happened when they were younger, as a child, as a very newborn child, or maybe it's happened later in life. And it's so shameful that they can't talk about it with anyone and it's buried deep within their souls. Oh Lord, my heart goes out to those people, whether they're here this morning at church or whether they're at home. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing to those dear people. It is not you who has chained them up and bound them. It is the enemy who has done that. You are the complete opposite. You bring love. You bring healing. And I pray that you will this morning to these people. Flood them with joy. Set them free, Lord Jesus, from the chains that have bound them and begin a new life with them. Fill them with the hope that one day they will see you face to face in that glorious place called heaven, where there will be no more sickness or crying or pain or death. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just want to say that if there is anybody here who would like prayer this morning, whether it's your health, whether it's hurt, shame, whatever, there are the elders here this morning who can pray with you. Richard and Beth, Robin and I, happy to pray with you. I've always believed that the church should not only be like a school where there's teaching, but it should be like a hospital where sick ones come, those hurt that are come for prayer, because this, we're here for each other. Amen.